Hello, hello, my sweet friends. I hope whatever time of day this finds you, that you find yourself hungry. Not just hungry for food, as the majority of us are at all times, and we can talk about that at another time, but hungry for the Word of God. I am so captured by the Beatitudes, where it's talking about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That's a promise. And those are in red letters, so we know that comes straight from the mouth of our Savior Jesus. And so I want to make sure that I live that sort of life where I'm geared towards seeking the righteousness of God through Christ, through His Word, that I'm hungry for it always, because I want to be filled with something so much more than me. And I don't know about y'all, I'm not just trying to over-spiritualize this or make it something more emotional than it should be, but I don't know about y'all, but I need that to keep going in my everyday life. When I step away from the Lord, whether it be consciously or unwittingly, whatever it is, I recognize a great interruption in the joy that fills my soul because of my Savior, who is my delight. And so I want to encourage you in that way. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Now, one of the things I want to start doing more of is just talking about the Bible. I love to talk about application of the Bible, and it'll be sprinkled in throughout here. But I want to make sure and just talk about the Word and what it's saying and how it's speaking to them then, us now, and what they're actually saying. Because what good are we with just a hyped up message that we can find in any old self-help book? This is a story that matters, and it has a bunch of amazing stories in it, but there's one story, the theme that goes throughout the entire book, and this is the coming of a Savior. So Isaiah 32 is where I fall. This is so amazing to me. I've been in 2020, I had this overwhelming, which I know to be the Spirit, desire to read the book of Isaiah. So and y'all know 2020 turned out to be, I use the words dumpster fire all the time, but I don't have anything better to explain it with. It's just a complete dumpster fire. And so by the time I got to chapter 32 of Isaiah, I was tired on so many levels. And so the Lord spoke to me in such a sweet way then. And then I, a few days ago, was reading in my mentor and the editor of my book, Diane Warner. She has her own book of meditations called The Wonders of His Ways. And she's talking about this passage, this chapter of Isaiah 32. And so I couldn't help but say, hey, let's talk about this again, because this is just too special to leave alone. So here we go. It starts out, indeed, a king will reign righteously, and rulers will rule justly. Each will be like a shelter from the wind, a refuge from the rain, like flowing streams in a dry land, and the shade of a massive rock in an arid land. Then the eyes of those who see will not be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. And I love so much what commentary says about this. It's saying righteous rule will result in greater discernment among the subjects of the just king. And so there's some theologians that argue that this king that they're talking about is Hezekiah or Josiah. But really, if we look at this, we can't help but know this is about the coming of the Messiah. Not Hezekiah, not Josiah, the Messiah. And so this is prophetic. Isaiah is being prophetic. And this is something that's not just his opinion. This is divine inspiration. So we know he's talking about Jesus. He also goes in the adverse, where not just like everybody's going to have great discernment, but then it shifts where it starts to say a fool will no longer be called a noble, nor a scoundrel said to be important. So in other words, those folks who are shady, they're going to get called out. Those who are living in evil, more seriously, are going to be shown to be who they are. And we're going to be able to see that those who are living for him are going to stand in righteousness, and those who are not are going to be put in their proper place. But then also, we look in verse 9, and y'all, this hits home hard. I love this so much. So I'm going to read it to you and then explain a little more. Stand up, you complacent women. Listen to me. Pay attention to what I say, you overconfident daughters. In a little more than a year, you overconfident ones will shudder, for the grapes will fail and the harvest will not come. Shudder, you complacent ones. Tremble, you overconfident ones. Strip yourselves bare and put sackcloth around your waist. Beat your breasts in mourning for the delightful fields and the fruitful vines, for the ground of my people, growing thorns and briars. Indeed, for every joyous house in the jubilant city, for the palace will be deserted, the busy city abandoned, the hill and watchtower will become barren forevermore. Whew, that's a big, heavy weight. And it sounds like they're saying so much there is going to be stripped apart, torn down, taken away. But he is talking specifically to the women. I think there's a lot of times where we can go into that application, like I was talking about before, where we can turn it into application to women. But this is straight up saying women. And what he's saying right here is it's a prophetic pronouncement to address the women of the community. And they show pride in human resources rather than in the Lord. They are complacent and overconfident. And so what we've got to recognize, and I think this is the place where we can come over into some personal application. I mean, he's talking to these women in this time saying it is so important for you not to fall. So what's so different from then or fall to complacency? And another word for complacency is smugness. It's easy to get in our Christian bubble because unlike these people, we do know that the Messiah came. He was to come for them, but he has come for us, and we're looking forward to the time that he is to come in the future to come and get us, to claim us as his bride. But in the meantime, we can wear the Christian woman cape and we can get that smug sweetness about us where we serve all we're supposed to. But how dare the woman at in traffic get in our way, or how dare the cashier be a little bit rude to me, not knowing anything about their backstory. Here we are living in our convenient world and so proud of everything that surrounds us that we forget that every single person is in need of that Messiah. And it is our responsibility in every moment of all of time for us to be an example of the one who has come and the one who has saved us. He's saying right here, be careful, because all the stuff, not just your good, fun, extracurricular stuff is going to be stripped down, but actually your necessities. Every single thing is going to be taken from you, and you are going to be in need. And this is the beautiful thing about Diane's book, where she's talking about this dry and weary land. And he brings us to this place, because what's really amazing about this place is that then we know we need him. We're humbled. And y'all, that's the one thing that we don't have an abundance of, is humility. And so he does us a favor in all of his mercy by stripping us bare so that we can be built in humility. And when we're built in one season with humility, we learn for the next season to be stronger. I love it. She says in her writing called A Great Rock in a Weary Land, she says, without the storm, a shelter has no meaning. Unless we thirst, water has no appeal. Until the sun beats mercilessly down upon us, we never look for a shady place to escape it. Don't you think a lot of times, wives, mamas, and whether you, even if you're single and have never had any children, where you go through these phases where something happens in relation to the people around you, whether it be your coworker, your husband, your children, whatever that looks like. But we go through these seasons with the people around us, and we don't see them as, well, where we're stripped bare, whether it's relationship or in the necessities of those relationships. And we don't see those things as an actual blessing for a rebuilding and a showing of the goodness of God and his perfect, the unity that he brings and the how he does strip us bare so that we can grow together in his holiness. Or what about those seasons when you lose a job or your health is failing, your house, where you've got to move out of that amazing house that you once lived in, and you kind of got a downgrade? Or what if you never really get to get into the house you've always wanted to be in? Or so on and so forth. See these things as great blessings from God, because since we don't have an abundance of humility, in His mercy, He continues to try to offer that to us. And here it shows you at the end of Isaiah 32, it shows that offering, starting in verse 15. Until the Spirit from on high is poured out on us, then the desert will become an orchard, and the orchard will seem like a forest. Then justice will inhabit the wilderness, and righteousness will dwell in the orchard. Y'all get this, verse 17, let this like be like a gong through your system. The result of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever. You know, this is the reason why I think that we're jumping on my words here, where we go back to the beginning, where the argument is this Hezekiah? Is this Josiah? Is this the Messiah? Well, we know that Hezekiah and Josiah cannot do for us what the Holy Spirit can, what Jesus, the Savior of all mankind, can do. So we can be quite sure that this is talking about the Messiah, because the effect of His righteousness alone is what will give us that quiet confidence forever. Let that word roll through your system. It is our Savior, women, who can pull us out of this complacent, smug season. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, it's not something that you just choose to go to. It is a slippery slope, a slow fade. There's that great song, Slow Fade, that says that. But it's important for us to continuously do checks with God through His Word on a daily basis, because we do not know the swift nature of our hearts, or how swift the nature of our hearts is to move into such evil as complacency, as smugness. And people are not saved through you, through your life, when we live in that state. And so this is the most important thing of all, ever, anywhere, is that we are living in that righteousness forever. But the beautiful thing that we have to realize, and I call it beautiful because every time I think of it, my heart just glows, is forever means for us that here on this earth, we've got to do continual work. Once we hit those gates, though, it is done. It is finished. So let's work hard now, so that then we hear those words, well done, my good and faithful, not complacent daughter. Okay, sweet friends, again, I hope wherever you are in your day that this found you hungry, and I hope now that your cup runneth over so that somebody else can be fed straight out of that cup, straight out of the living water of our gracious God. God bless you, sweet friends. Talk to you soon here on A Heart Refined. Bye.